Good morning. Please take your Bibles. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. This morning, I wanted to start back the sermon handouts that we had to stop when we went to Zoom last year. If you did not get a handout this morning, I apologize. I will print more next week. They're a little more popular than I expected them to be this day. And so if you would like a handout, I can print one for you. Just let me know afterward, and I can get you the answers if you need them. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're not going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 6, though. We're going to start in Luke chapter 10 on the screen here. As Jesus is going about preaching in His ministry, and He is preaching to the people about the kingdom of God that is coming, it says, a lawyer stood up to put Him, that is Jesus, to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. For those of you who have forgot about the handouts, the answers are in capital letters there. Just fill that out, and you can study that outline on your own and maybe give it to a friend this week to study and show them the things that we have talked about. In Luke chapter 10, this lawyer is trying to test Jesus, and so he asks him about eternal life. And what Jesus does is he goes to the law. He goes to the Torah, is what the Jews called it. And he asks him, how do you read? How do you read the law? What does the law say? And that should cause us to stop and think for a moment, because when we think about eternal life, we think, well, that's just a New Testament concept. Eternal life, that's what the New Covenant in Christ talks about. Where does the Old Testament talk about eternal life? And yet Jesus does not say, well, what does Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John say? Or what does Romans through Revelation teach? Instead, Jesus says, what is written in the law? You see, Jesus' answer to this lawyer, this law expert, is go to the law, go to the Torah, the law of Moses. That's where the foundation of your question is found. And so the lawyer, being one that is honest, he says, well, I know what the law says. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. He quotes that from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And then when he says, your neighbor as yourself, that is taken from the book of Leviticus. And so in Leviticus, when we read that verse in Leviticus chapter 18, what we should take from that is that the book of Leviticus, something that we like to skip over in our Bible reading a lot, is actually a book about how to love your neighbor. So you want to know how to love your neighbor? Go read the book of Leviticus. You want to know how to love your God with all your heart? You go read the book of Deuteronomy. In the context of the book of Deuteronomy, what you have is, this book is known as the second giving of the law. You might recall that the people were banished into the wilderness for 40 years to wander because of their disobedience of not going into the land and taking it when God gave them the opportunity. Instead, they wanted to send the spies out, and 10 spies came back, gave a negative report. Says, oh, we can't take this land. They're too big. We're too small. We'll never make it. And you have Caleb and Joshua who says, oh, we can make it. We can. God is on our side. If He is for us, who can be against us? We can conquer these people as God has promised us this land to our fathers. We can take it. But they didn't listen to Caleb and Joshua. Instead, they listened, the people that is, they listened to the 10 negative spies, and they disobeyed God, and they did not go in and take the land. And so God punished them for 40 years to wander in the wilderness. They're coming out of the wilderness now. And what Moses is doing in Deuteronomy is he's giving the law to them again. He's reconfirming the Ten Commandments and the law in its entirety with this new generation that comes out of the wilderness. They're about to enter the promised land. They are just right there, about to enter it. But as you know, Moses is not allowed to enter. And so Joshua is going to be the new leader. But before that, Moses gives a series of speeches. This is a series of sermons throughout the book of Deuteronomy that Moses proclaims to the people of Israel about their past, where they came from, what God delivered them, how He saved them, the laws that He laid down 40 years previously there at Mount Sinai. And He's preparing their hearts. And He's stressing to them the faithfulness of God. Listen to Him. He is faithful to you. He was faithful to Abraham. He is giving you these promises. Believe in His promises. Act upon those. He then also teaches about the uniqueness of God. How God is the only true and living God. There is no one beside Him. And then he talks about the power that God has demonstrated to him and to them and bringing them out of Egypt as well as conquering the nations around them. These are the sermons that Moses is delivering over and over again as we read through the book of Deuteronomy. Well, we come to chapter 6, and this is what we read, verse 1. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that Yahweh your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it. That you may fear Yahweh your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all His statutes and His commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as Yahweh the God of your fathers has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, Yahweh is one. Hear, O Israel, verse 5, you shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Notice that the answer that the lawyer gives here is rooted in Deuteronomy chapter 6. That's what he's quoting from. And it is in Deuteronomy chapter 6 then that teaches us how to have life. It is Deuteronomy chapter 6 that is teaching us that God has always desired obedience from the heart. That is not a New Testament concept. That is something that God has always required. Obedience from the heart. He's desired it and He has demanded it from the very beginning. But what's this idea of loving God? I think sometimes we get this idea that it's just this emotional love. I love God like I might love a friend or might love my children even. But loving God is not merely emotional love. Loving God with all your heart, soul, and strength is expressed through an intimate and covenant relationship where God is the sole object of your adoration. That is your worship. He is all that you worship. That's the sole object that you bow down to. He is the sole object of your allegiance, what you pledge your allegiance to, your loyalty to, and then your affection. This is the kind of love that reigns in your inner being, in the deepest thoughts and emotions. It is the essence of your being. And I want us to see that the connection here between loving God with all your heart is the very fact that God is one. That's what he says in verse 4. Yahweh our God, Yahweh is one. You shall love Yahweh with all your heart. The point that he is making, the connection between that there is only one true and living God, there are no other gods, and if there is another God, it is a false God. The connection between there is only one God is that in the fullness of his love that he has displayed toward you people as one God, that is the fullness of love that you must display to him. You cannot be divided in your loyalty between him and someone else. And this stood in opposition to the pagan nations around them that had multiple gods. You know, the god of the sea, the god of the sky, the god of the stars, the god of the cows, and the god of fertility. They all worshiped all these different gods, and yet God says, no, there is only one God that you submit to. Only one God that you have loyal attachment to, that you praise and you adore and you pledge your allegiance to. And the reason why that is because I loved you first. That's what he says. Look with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 39. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 39. Well, let's actually look at verse 37. He says, because he, that is God, loved your fathers, that is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and chose their offspring after them and brought you out of Egypt with his own presence by his great power, driving out before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in, to give you their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Know therefore today and lay it to your heart that Yahweh is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. And then when he comes to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and he's delivering this sermon, he's already laid that foundation. There is no other. The Lord your God is one. And that is why you give your whole heart to him. You give your whole being, everything that you are, you give to this God. He is the God of heaven. He is your creator. He delivers you. He sustains you. He bears you up. You submit to no one else. This is why then he has to go into part of his sermon of don't go after other gods, verse 14 of chapter 6. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you. Why? For Yahweh your God in your midst is a jealous God. Someone says, a jealous God? What does that mean? Well, try dating someone or marrying someone and then having them flirt with somebody else. You want to talk about how jealous you might be? That you're the one that you love, the one that you devote yourself to, is over here flirting with someone else? What happens when we flirt with other gods? When we begin to bow down to other gods, oh, that makes God jealous, he says. And he says, lest the anger of Yahweh your God be kindled against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. Do not put him to the test, Moses says. Obey him from the heart. Love God with all your heart, your whole being. What does that look like? What does it look like to love God with your whole being? Everything that you are, your heart, your mind, your intellect, your conscience, your strength, your energy. What does it mean to love Him in every regard? Well, first off, it means that God's sovereignty will foster fear and reverence in my heart. And I want to say something about fear. We oftentimes, we will say things like, well, you know, when it comes to fear that's found in the Bible, it's not so much the fear of being afraid as it is reverence. We, you know, we want to have reverence for God. That's the kind of fear that the Bible teaches. Well, it is true that the Bible does teach us to maintain reverence when it comes to God. But let me say this. If there is no fear, meaning if there is no sense of being afraid of God, well, then there's not going to be any reverence. The reason why we have reverence for God and the reason why we respect Him is because we fear His power. We fear His judgment. We fear what He can do to us. That's why we have reverence for Him. In verses 1 and 2 of chapter 6, it says, now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules, that Yahweh your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear Yahweh your God. Fear Him, he says. But look with me to chapter 5 and in verse 22. Chapter 5 and verse 22, this is as Moses is recounting the giving of the Ten Commandments. He says, these words Yahweh spoke to all your assembly at the mountain out of the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness. with a loud voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. And as soon as you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness while the mountain was burning with fire, you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, behold, Yahweh our God has shown us his glory and greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. This day we have seen God speak with man, and man still live. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of Yahweh our God any more, we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of fire as we have and has still lived? Go near and hear all that Yahweh our God will say, and speak to us all that Yahweh our God will speak to you, and we will hear. And notice this, not only will we hear, but we will do it. And Yahweh heard your words when you spoke to me. And Yahweh said to me, I have heard the words of this people, which they have spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart as this always, to fear me and to keep all my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their descendants forever. Go and say to them, return to your tents. But you stand here by me, and I will tell you the whole commandment and the statutes and the rules that you shall teach them, that they may do them in the land that I am giving them to possess. You shall be careful, therefore, to do as Yahweh your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the way that Yahweh your God has commanded you, that you may live, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you shall possess. Notice how God says, oh, verse 29, that they had such a heart as this always to fear me. What kind of fear is he talking about? The fear of, if we are around God, we will die. We don't want to even be in his presence. We don't even want to hear his voice because we're afraid that we will die. And God says, if they would just have that fear within their heart always, then they will always keep my commandments. This whole idea of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, fear God and keep his commandments, that's an echo of this passage. Fear and keep my commandments. What happens when we don't fear God? Look with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and in verse 20. I, Moses, said to you, you have come to the hill country of the Amorites, which Yahweh our God is giving us. See, Yahweh your God has set the land before you. Go up, take possession, as Yahweh the God of your fathers has told you. Do not fear or be dismayed. He is saying, don't fear these people. God is on your side. Take the land. And what happens? They come to Moses and they say, well, let's send some spies to spy out the land. And what happens? They come back and they say, we cannot take the land. Notice what happens. When we stop fearing God, we fear everything else. That's why God only wants us to fear Him, so that we will be obedient to Him. Nothing will stop us from being obedient to Him. We will never compromise because of fear. We will always respect and obey His commandments. And yet, here's what happens when the fear of God is removed from our hearts. Psalm 36, verse 1 says, transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. You know, people who disobey God, it's because the fear of God is not in their hearts. If you find yourself this week, I want you to examine your heart. If you're going through this week and you find yourself giving yourself over to sin and you know it's wrong, understand when you're doing that the fear of God is not in your heart. Because if you feared God, if you feared falling into the living hands of God and the judgment that is awaiting, oh, you would keep His commandments. You would have reverence for Him. You would bow to Him. Because you fear Him. And so, what does loving God with all your whole being look like? It means that when it comes to His authority, His power, His greatness, His glory, it will foster fear like nothing else. What is man? What can man do to me? The psalmist said, I fear God. Secondly, love God with your whole being. God's rules will be carefully followed, observed in my heart. Statutes is what he calls it in Deuteronomy chapter 6. What that is an authoritative rule that God has laid down. There are rules that we must follow. We live in a society of rules. Well, we have a God who has given us rules. And notice what he says about those rules. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 1. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel." And let me stop there for a moment. Whenever you see the word "hear," that means pay attention. That means do what I'm about to say. "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the rules that I speak in your hearing today, and you shall learn them." So there is something that we must do. We must learn the rules of God. And then he goes on and says, and be careful to do them. Take care. Are we individuals who carefully follow the rules of God? Look with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1. Just let's just read all of these different passages about taking care. He says, verse 1, "And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them." Notice how he keeps saying, "Hear, listen, do." "That you may live." Notice how he keeps saying, "Hear, listen, obey, do," and then what? "Life." Keep that in the back of your mind. Lawyer says, he says, "Teacher, teacher, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, here's God telling us in the book of Deuteronomy. You do the commandments of God and you live. And go in and take possession of the land that Yahweh, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Verse 2, "You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yahweh your God that I command you." Pay attention to verse 2. "You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it." If we add to the word of God, if we subtract from the word of God, we are not being careful with the word of God. So God commands us to do something and we go beyond that commandment. That's not carefully following the word of God. God's word commands something we do less than what he commands us to do. That's not being careful to follow the commandments of God. Look with me to verse 4. "But you who held fast," this is in contrast to those who God destroyed because they followed idols. Verse 4, "But you who held fast to Yahweh your God are still alive today." So being careful is holding fast. It's cementing yourself to the word of God. Gluing yourself. Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left. You're careful. Verse 9. He says, "Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life." What he is saying here is that when we learn God's word, we learn his greatness and his glory and his sovereignty, we must lay those things in the heart and be diligent to keep them there, because we will forget. We are forgetful people. We will forget. And they did forget. Verse 15, just look at the very beginning of the chapter of the verse. He says, "Watch yourselves very carefully." Look at verse 23. He says, "Take care lest you forget the covenant of Yahweh your God." And then he goes on and says, "It is because you will go off and make carved images." Look with me to chapter 5, verse 31. Chapter 5 and in verse 31, he gives them commandments, verse 31. Then what does he say, verse 32? "You shall be careful, therefore, to do as Yahweh your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left." And let me say something. These are speeches that Moses is giving. If somebody ever says, "Man, the preacher just repeats himself a lot," go read the book of Deuteronomy. This is like a broken record. Moses is drilling this information in the minds of these individuals. He says, verse 33, "You shall walk in all the way that Yahweh your God has commanded." Why? "That you may live." So, What does it mean to love God with your whole being? It means I'm going to carefully follow the Word of God. It's going to be in my heart. I'm going to pay attention to what the Word of God says. And what it's going to do is going to produce blessings in my life. First and foremost, for the people of Israel, they would go into the land, they would possess it, they would be blessed, the land would be fruitful for them, they would multiply, they would live, they would be in a place of rest and free from their enemies. It was a land flowing with milk and honey, as Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 3 says. It was a land of promise for them. But not just that. Notice how they would be full of wisdom, chapter 4 and in verse 6. Chapter 4 and in verse 6. This is after he says that he has taught them statutes and rules, verse 5. He says this in verse 6, keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who when they hear all these statutes will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as Yahweh our God is to us whenever we call upon Him? Notice how if they kept the Word of God, they would have an intimate relationship with God. They could call upon Him and He would answer them. Verse 8, and what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Then he says, verse 9, only take care and keep your soul diligently. What God is saying to these individuals is that when you are careful to follow my rules, you will be a light to all the nations. The nations will turn to look at you and say, look at this wise and understanding people. You ever had somebody come up to you at work and said, you know, you just got a good head on your shoulders. You're always full of wisdom. And I always hear you talking about Scripture. And you always have the right answer. And you know what to do. And I'm just a life full of misery and foolishness. Help me out here. You know why that is? It's because they see you walking with the Lord. They see you observing the commandments of God. They see you being a light to the world. You stand out from the crowd. You're different from the rest of the world. They can turn to you when they need wisdom and understanding. And if you act like that at work, you will have co-workers who are not believers, who are not obedient to the Lord. They will see a difference in you. They will be like the other nations when it came to Israel. And they'll turn to that nation and they'll say, man, I wish we had a God like theirs. That only happens when we pay attention to God's Word. When we believe in His promises. And that's important. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and in verse 8. It is so important. Here's the foundation of why we will carefully follow Him is because we believe Him. He says, verse 8 of Deuteronomy chapter 1, see, I have set the land before you. Go in, take possession of the land that Yahweh swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them and to their offspring after them. So, what He is laying down is, God's giving you the land, just go take it. He is with you, do whatever, go take it. And yet, as you continue to read chapter 1, what you find is they begin to be afraid. And so when you get to verses 20 and 21 and 22, you know, they want to send out the spies. And notice what the consequences of not believing in the promises of God. And what I mean by promises of God, these are the promises that God made to Abraham. Pay attention what happens when we don't believe in those specific promises. He says, verse 26, or verse 25, and they took their hands, some of the fruit of the land, and brought it down to us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land that Yahweh our God is giving us. That's the land that God promised Abraham. Yet, verse 26, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of Yahweh your God, and you murmured in your tents. They complained and said, because Yahweh hated us, He has brought us out of the land of Egypt to give us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. What blasphemous statements. You see what happens when we don't believe in the promises of God? We rebel against the commandments of God. He told His people to go take the land and they said, nope, Nope. They're a bigger people than us. And so they rebelled against the command. And then they went back in their tents and they cried like little babies. And then they pointed their little fingers at God and said, "You hate us. You brought us here to destroy us, to kill us. Oh, that we just remained in Egypt." We come to false conclusions about our God. And we're not careful to be obedient. That's what happens when you don't love God with your whole being. Thirdly, God's word will reign in my heart. Look with me, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Moses writes in verse 6. He says, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit down, sit in your house and walk. And when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets or ornaments between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." He begins to describe to them this idea of always having the Word of God present in our life, ever before our eyes, ever in our mind. The binding of the hands here that he speaks about, how you should bind them on your hands, is a picture. It's figurative language. Just this kind of picture of in the activities that you do, the things that you do with your hands is going to have God is going to be governing those things, in control of those things. So he says, lay it to your heart and bind them as a sign on your hand. So, you know, everything that you're doing, it has in your heart the Word of God, the commandments of God. They shall be as ornaments between your eyes. So everything that you see through the perspective of God and through the commandments of God. It's ever present in your mind. The whole writing, when he says here, you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. It is, again, this idea of God governing the home. Look with me at the book of Proverbs. The King Solomon wrote about or echoed this language from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and the things that he said, Proverbs chapter 3. And notice how he applies this language. Proverbs chapter 3, he says in verse 1, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." So remember Deuteronomy 6, lay these commandments in your heart. Verse 2, "For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." Remember that's what that said in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You want life, you want peace, you lay these commandments to your heart. Verse 3, "Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck." So you wear love and faithfulness and the Word of God around your neck, like a necklace. "Write them on the tablet of your heart. Internalize the Word of God," he is saying. "So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him." Remember that binding on your hands? Everything you do, you acknowledge God and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear Yahweh and turn away from evil. That's some good commentary on Deuteronomy chapter 6 and what that looks like. Someone said, I don't know who said it. Someone said, God's word is not something to be merely highlighted in our Bibles, but written on our hearts. And I think that if I asked for a show of hands, everybody would say, yeah, I've underlined something in my Bible. Yeah, I've highlighted something in my Bible, but have you put it in your heart? There is a difference, brethren. There is a difference in taking out your little highlighter, your yellow or maybe pink or whatever, blue one, and highlight. Oh, that's an important verse. I need to remember that. Have you internalized it? Does it reign in the heart? Does it guide you in all you do? Is it a delight to you? Do you delight in His Word, Psalm 1:2? That's how you know you love God with your whole being. And lastly, God's Word will be impressed upon my children's hearts, and by extension, the hearts of others. Verse 7, he says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." Let me say, the greatest gift that parents can give their children is not the best education at the best school. It's not that at all. It is not worldly possessions. It is not all these recreational activities. It's not a cell phone. It's not video games. It's none of those things. The greatest gift I can give is the knowledge of God. Impressing it, writing the knowledge of God on the heart of my child. The hearts of my children. Chapter 6 and verse 20, he says, "When your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that Yahweh our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, 'We were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and Yahweh brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And Yahweh showed signs and wonders and great and grievous against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give to our fathers. And Yahweh commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear Yahweh our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us, children, my son. It will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before Yahweh our God as He has commanded us." But unfortunately, look with me to Judges chapter 2. There arose a generation that did not know God. Judges chapter 2 and in verse 6. It says, "When Joshua dismissed the people of Israel went each to his inheritance to take possession of the land. And the people served Yahweh all the days of Joshua, and all the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work." Notice that they had seen all the great work that Yahweh had done for Israel. "And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Yahweh, died at the age of 110 years. Look at verse 10. "And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers." That means Joshua, who led them into the promised land, all the elders, all the older generation, they died off, and there arose another generation after them who did not know Yahweh or the work that He had done for Israel. "And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of Yahweh and served the Baals." It's just like all of Moses' sermons were just pushed to the side. Verse 12, "And they abandoned Yahweh, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the people who were around them and bowed down to them, and they provoked Yahweh to anger." Someone says, how in the world did that happen? Did they not teach their children? Of course they taught their children, you would say. I mean, they saw all the miracles, didn't they? God is the one who led them through the wilderness and led them over the Jordan River and went two into the promised land, and they conquered all these nations, and they saw the mighty hand of God. What happened? What happened? Look with me to Joshua. Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. Now this is right before they're going to go in to take the land. The first battle they're going to have is at Jericho in chapter 6. They're about to cross over into the land. It says, "When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, Yahweh said to Joshua," he was the new leader, Moses has just died, he said, "Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, 'Take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.' Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of Yahweh your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. So his point here is this. Here's the Jordan River. They need to cross it so they can get into the Promised Land. The water's going. How are we going to cross this? God says, I'm going to work a miracle for you. You're going to carry the Ark of the Covenant. And it's as you're carrying it into the water and the priests are standing there, the water's going to stop flowing. And it's going to move like it did with the Red Sea. And you're going to cross over into dry land or cross into the Promised Land through dry land, just like you did with the Red Sea when you were leaving Egypt. And as you're passing over the Jordan, I want you to take 12 stones and I want you to put those stones on the other side. And that's going to be a memorial for you. So whenever your children ask, what's those stones for, Daddy? Well, that daddy's going to say what it was for. I really appreciate what Brother Bob Waldron, maybe you know him, he's written a lot of class material, said about this passage. He said, how is it that a generation would arise from a people who saw the actual miracles of God? How is it that they could fall away so easily? And he gave this little story. I think it's a really, really neat story to put this in perspective. He said, you know, they've been brought into the land, and about 10, 15 years go by, and one of the faithful Israelites who went through the wilderness and heard the speeches of Moses and then was led by Joshua and crossed over the Jordan and brought in and conquered all the land, you know, he's settled in, he has a family now, and his son is about 10 years old, and one day they're just traveling along, and you know, they're way away from home, and they've been traveling for 2 days, and they're just so exhausted. It's getting dark outside, but they're coming up close to the Jordan River. And there's those 12 stones over there stacked up as a memorial. And all of a sudden, the father sees those 12 stones, and just all these memories begin to rush into his mind. Oh, the wilderness wanderings, and oh, the miracles that God worked, and oh, the Jordan Sea that he opened up for us to walk on dry land, and then we conquered Jericho, and we took the land as he promised to Abraham, and he just, all these memories are in his mind, and then all of a sudden he feels something, and he looks down, and his son is pulling on his garment, and he says, Daddy, what's those 12 stones for? And his father kind of comes back to reality, and he looks around, and it's almost dark. And he realizes, man, we have a lot to do. And he says, well, son, those 12 stones, that's a memorial. That's for when we see it, it's to remind us that we crossed this Jordan River years ago. Now, come on, son, let's go. We got to hurry and get home before it's dark. There it is. That's why his son abandoned the Lord. Here is a memorial to God Almighty. And the father is concerned with time. Instead of making trips to those 12 stones and sitting around those 12 stones and talking about all the wonderful things that God has done, more concerned about getting to where he's going. You know, we keep a memorial every first day of the week. It's called the Lord's Supper. How are we presenting that memorial to our children's heart? You see, that father, that Israelite, and this is a made-up story, obviously, but it drives the point home. That Israelite, the Israelites taught their children, but did they impress it upon their children's hearts? And there is a difference. There's a difference in just giving information to your child and then living that information out in your own life and making it the only thing that you pursue in this life. And that is what you have to write the covenant on your heart, and you have to write it on their heart, and you can't make God as some kind of option that you're just going to pursue in this life. This is a good option, children. No, it is the only option that we will pursue in this home. And you impress those marvelous things on their heart. And you make God the sole object of your adoration and your allegiance and your affection. And when you do that, you love your God with all your heart, and your children will see that, and it will create in them a love for God so strong that when you pass on, they will not abandon the Lord. They will not. They will pursue God just as you did. Do you love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength? Do you want eternal life? Look with me to Luke chapter 10. I know I just closed my Bible, but now we're going to reopen it. Luke chapter 10 and verse 28. I want us to see how Jesus responded to this lawyer. The lawyer says, "Teacher, how can I inherit eternal life?" And he answered, "What's written in the law?" And the lawyer said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." And Jesus, verse 28, said to him, "You have answered correctly. You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." Let that Deuteronomy language echo in your mind, where he kept saying, "Do the commandments and live. Do the commandments and live. Do this, and you will live." So, do you want to inherit eternal life? Here it is. You love God, then love your God like Israel was supposed to love their God. That's how you inherit eternal life. How do I get to heaven? How do I spend all of eternity with God in His presence? How do I bring my children to be with God? You love God like Israel was supposed to love God. That's it. There's your answer. What does the law say? It says, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you're here this morning and you want eternal life, that's my answer to you. As together we stand and sing.